What a delight and a blessing, first of all, to be in God's house on this Sunday morning, and secondly, to be at Grace Baptist Church here in West Valley. And I've known about your church for many years, but never have had the privilege of being here, and also getting to know your pastor a little better. He and I have had paths cross on few occasions in life, but it's a joy to see you, Brother Johnson, and to be in fellowship here this morning. This is special for me personally because I'm out here primarily to see my family and my wife, Terry, who is here this morning. And then I have actually three of my four children who are out here this week. One is living here, our son Stephen, and our daughter-in-law Bethany, along most importantly with our four grandsons that they have. And everywhere I go, I tell people that I have children, but most importantly, I tell people I have grandchildren. And four of the grandchildren are from our daughter-in-law Bethany, who's here this morning, and they're four boys, and the oldest of the four is five. And that's the response I get in every church I go to. And so Bethany is here. And then our daughter Rachel and her husband Ethan, our son-in-law, along with our granddaughter Sydney, who is here this morning, and then our daughter Rebecca. So this is a family reunion for us. And so thank you for letting us share with you this morning in the worship in God's house. Thank you for the beautiful music. And thank you for singing from your heart. You know, whenever you go to church, one of the things you always want to know is the Lord there? Is God's presence here? And I've already sensed the presence of the Lord among his people this morning, and it's a blessing being here. It's my privilege to serve as the president of Bob Jones University, which is a Christian university located in Greenville, South Carolina. And our school is beginning this fall, our 95th year as an institution. We were founded by an evangelist named Bob Jones Sr. When he started the school in 1927, he was burdened about the negative impact on Christian young people in the secular and the liberal education of the 1920s. Think about that. And for the last 95 years, we have tried to have an institution that focuses what I would say on three key things. Number one, an outstanding academic education that prepares people for every walk of life. Secondly, an education that is centered at its very foundation in a biblical worldview and is centered on the scripture, the authority of God's word. And then thirdly, an institution that seeks to nurture in the lives of the students character, a community of believers that are committed to the local church, and in an atmosphere that emphasizes culture and refinement as they are able to go out into the world and minister in all walks of life. And that's what we've been trying to do for the last 95 years. And so thank you for letting me be here this morning, and I trust God's word will strengthen your heart today. We're looking at Matthew chapter 10 this morning, the words of God, and we're going to read in verse 28 down to verse 31 with our focused attention this morning on verse 30. These are the words of our Lord as he is encouraging his people not to live in fear. And he uses illustrations for us to not only think about, but to feel. Because we know truth, we learn it through the things that we feel, our emotions, our experiences. We'll see that this morning here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. God's word says this, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father," that is, without really your father's control. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. That's the conclusion of his point. For you are of more value than many sparrows. And may the Lord bless his word to our heart this morning. May the Lord use it to strengthen our faith and give us today exactly what we need in order to live our lives faithfully for him this week. May we pray together. Lord, thank you for your word that you have given to us as we sang this morning, ancient words that are for our day in which we're living. Lord, we thank you that you have spoken to us and you have revealed your truth to us in your most precious word. And so I pray for your blessing, your favor on it. As was mentioned by Pastor as he read the scriptures this morning, we pray, God, for your blessing on salvation, that you will work in hearts and draw people to yourself. And Lord, strengthen the church that it would be a testimony, a lighthouse, an example, and would stand for truth in our day. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is filled with hundreds of memorable and repeatable verses, statements, phrases, metaphors, illustrations that we use in common day life, that we use in conversation. And such is one of those verses that I'd like us to look at this morning. It's found in Matthew chapter 10, and it's just really an illustration, but it's one that we can all relate to. Listen to what Jesus says. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, to me, this is an extremely interesting statement. It's interesting, first of all, because everybody can get it. You know, sometimes when you preach a sermon, you're trying to help people get something that maybe they won't comprehend. Well, we can all get this. We all have heads, and most of us all have hair on top of it. But not only is it easy to grasp, but the hair on your head is important to all of us. Now, I work in a university, a college, where people are being educated. So they're taking very important subjects like biology and chemistry and zoology and physics and so forth and so on. But I can promise you, when a student wakes up in the morning, they are far more interested in what their hair looks like than the way the world operates. And so therefore, practically, it's very important to us. But this verse is also very interesting to me because it definitely arouses my curiosity. I mean, what's the first thing at least comes to your mind if you're trying to be somewhat, left-brained about it, if you're thinking more from the standpoint of just wanting to get some information? When he makes the statement, he's numbered the very hairs on top of your head. What question comes to your mind? Well, how many hairs do I have on top of my head? And of course, if you have a question and you need an answer, what do? You go to Google, exactly. And I Googled it and found out there's somewhere between 100,000 and 150,000 hairs of head hairs on every head. Now, maybe you ask the question, well, who cares? What does it really matter? And yet, it matters to God. And if it matters to God, then obviously it should matter to us. And obviously it has something here for us to learn. Not about yourself, but about your God. Because it says he has numbered the hairs that are on your head. And there's one other thing about this verse to me that's very interesting, and that is that Jesus here is using a way of communication that motivates us to want to learn. And that is this, it is a form of what we call logic. And we use this form of logic all the time. Now, the big word is the word a fortiori. Maybe I'm telling you I'm a college president, which really doesn't mean a lot. but it's the idea of arguing from the lesser to the greater. In other words, if he's numbered the hairs of your head and he cares that much about you, what about the rest of your life? And he is using this as a form of logic to affect our hearts. Because what is the theme of the verses that we've read? It's not the hairs of your head. It's not a bird that flies and falls from the sky. It is that in life, we have to decide what we're going to be afraid of. Because he says, don't be afraid of the person that can kill the body, but fear the one that can cast both soul and body into hell. And he concludes and he tells us to not be afraid. Afraid in this life and also in the life to come if we are secure in the Lord. Why? Because you are of more value than sparrows. And so, folks, fear touches our emotions. So this is a form of emotional logic that he has numbered the very hairs that are on top of your head. So what do we learn from this? What is it that this statement is trying to bring to our attention? A number of things I'd like to share with you this morning. First of all, I believe that this verse is conveying, and I'm going to use a few words here, but a simple word. It is conveying that God actually controls things. That God is actually sovereign, and sovereign is the idea, the word of one who rules, that God is in control. He has numbered the very hairs that are in your head, and this is not in the present tense. This is in such a way that it's written that it means that he's all numbered your hairs before the worlds were even made. You see, folks, you and I live in time. We know that because we have a birth date, and one day we'll have a death date, and we'll know that because generally they're both on our tombstone. So we live in this framework of time, and we live on a schedule, and we start at time, and there's 60 seconds in a minute. And we live by days, and we live by weeks, and we live by months, and we live by years. But understand that God is not like that. God's ways are not our ways. And God is eternal. And everything that God does today is because God has chosen to do it in the past. Because the past and the present and the future are all one, because God is eternal. So when God has numbered the hairs of our head, he's talking about what he has done in eternity past. You say, preacher, I don't think I understand that. Well, aren't you glad you have a God that you can worship that you can't fully comprehend? Because when we cannot rise up to understand, we can always bow down in worship. And that's what God wants us to understand about his nature and character, that God is in control. We don't use words. God uses words in the scripture like the word predestination or the word foreordination. And when we read those words, we grapple with them. But God intends for us not so much to grapple, but to believe and to understand that he is in control. And the longer that we live in our Christian faith, we should grow in a greater confidence that God has been in control of my life ever since I came into this world. I was born on the 27th of November, 1955. My mother, Eleanor Jones, married my father, Bill Pettit, on the 27th of November, 1954. So I was their 1 year wedding anniversary present. My grandfather, my mother's father, his name was Dr. A.B. Jones. He was a practicing physician in a small county in South Georgia. He delivered me into this world. My dad graduated from the University of Georgia when I was 3 years old with a degree in agricultural economics. And at the age of 3, our family picked up and we moved to the Holy Land. You say, where is that? South Carolina, of course. And I grew up in South Carolina. By the way, my wife grew up in Denver. My wife is a Westerner. I am a Southerner. And I'm going to tell you what, they ain't the same. And I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina, and I was a typical Southern kid growing up. I graduated from high school in 1974, and I went to a military school in South Carolina called the Citadel, and I graduated from there in 1978. I made the varsity soccer team my freshman year, and there was one other fellow that made the varsity that year. His name was Maxie Birch from Beaufort, South Carolina. And we became best friends. We roomed together. We sat together when we traveled. We ate together. And the year before Maxie came to Bob Jones University, he had become a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. And so he would share the gospel with me. And he would say to me, Pettit, you need to get saved. And on Easter Sunday, 1975, listening actually to a preacher on the radio, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I've often looked back at my life and the way that I grew up, and I wondered, God, is this really what you... Now, I know the Lord wanted me to get saved. I get that. But the way that I grew up and the family that I grew up in and my parents and the problems that we had in our family, and also the blessings that we had. And I look back, and the older that I become in the Lord, the more I am convinced that God is in control. And folks, how do we know God is in control? Because he has numbered the very hairs on top of your head. God's providence, that is God seeing before and controlling things, God's providence knows nothing so little as to be beneath his notice, and nothing so great as to be beyond his control. We all know the verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And what is the foundation for this? To them who are called according to his purpose. And in the Bible, the word call is always in reference to one's salvation. Because when a person is saved, they hear the gospel through the preaching of God's word, but they also hear the gospel through the work of the Holy Spirit within the heart. And God calls through the preacher and through the work of the Spirit. You would never come to God without the Spirit's work in your life. And in the basis of God's working in your heart through salvation, we also know that all things are working together for good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So you could say it this way. If your hair turns gray, or your hair turns loose, it is all under the providential care of an all-wise and all-kind Father. So, folks, if God has numbered the hairs on top of your head, what about your infirmities? What about your burdens and difficulties? What about your marriage? What about your present? What about your future? What about your education? And I believe what we're learning from this verse is that in light of the fears of that I face in my life, all of these struggles, and was already mentioned this morning in prayer as we struggle through life, that I really don't come to a settled peace, and I think really a settled wisdom, until I come to believe that God is in control. Perhaps the man that suffered the most in the Old Testament was a fellow that had a one-syllable name. What's his name? His name was Job. And he went through incredible suffering. And in the midst of his suffering, he said these words, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the first step to wisdom is not fearing situations and circumstances, but it is learning to fear God, that He is in control, that He has numbered the hairs of your head. But then there's something else I want us to see this morning. And that is, not only does this verse convey that God is in control, but it also conveys that God is deeply intimate with us. What does it say? He's numbered the very hairs of your head. Now, I want you to think about that. Surely that God knows you better than anybody else, because does anybody else number the hairs on your head? I have friends in my life. I've never had one friend come up to me and say, "Hey, Steve, can I count all the hairs on top of your head?" My wife and I this summer will celebrate our 41st wedding anniversary. In 41 years of marriage, I've never had my wife say, "Sweetheart, I don't have much to do today. Can I number the hairs on your head?" Well, what does that say? It tells us that God obviously knows you better than you know yourself. That God cares more about you than you care about yourself, because He is doing something that obviously you haven't even taken the time to do. God knows things about you that you can't even discover about yourself. Have you ever gone to the doctor and knowing physically that there was something wrong with you, and you didn't know what it was, but you went to the doctor with the hope and perhaps the belief that he could find out what your problem is? And you go through a battery of tests and gather up data to find out what is it that you're struggling with physically? Or maybe perhaps you've gone through an emotional struggle in your life, a spiritual struggle in your life, and you have gone to someone that you believe that is wise enough through conversation to be able to tell you what it is exactly you're struggling with, and perhaps can give you steps to overcome that struggle that you're facing in your life. And folks, one of the things that we understand about God is that He is a wonderful counselor, that He is able to diagnose, and He's also able to prescribe to you what it is that you need in your life to overcome the issues of your life. How do we know that? Because He's numbered the very hairs of our head. He knows things about us that we can't even discover about ourselves. But surely this means that God's love for us must be deeply intimate. Think about how much God must think about you. I mean, have you ever been in a situation in your life where you wish somebody would just give you a phone call or text you or come over to see you? And just to know that they think about you, have you ever received a text message? I have a pastor in Michigan who texts me every Sunday morning with an encouraging word from Scripture. Actually, I saw him recently and I thanked him for the text. My initial thought was he only did it for me. He said, "Oh," he says, "I have about 200 guys I write every Sunday morning." That didn't make me quite so special. You understand what I'm saying? But when you know somebody is thinking about you and inquiring about you, obviously that makes you feel special because they are thinking about you. And folks, think with me a moment. God has numbered the very hairs on top of your head. God is expressing to you His deep love and His deep intimacy. That God's focus on me is singular. He's numbered the very hairs of your head. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you realize that while you were talking to them, they weren't really listening? Now, I'm not talking about your husband. I'm talking about other people, okay? But you've been in conversations, and that very one person could not even focus their attention on you. They were thinking of other things. And folks, I want you to know that God's attention on you is singular, and at the same time, it is omniscient. That is, God not only thinks about you individually, but he knows everything there is to know about you, and he thinks about you. You know, you think about it, the more you get to know somebody, sometimes you don't want to be in it, spend time with them because you get to know them too well. But with God, it's the opposite. That God knows us deeply and intimately, and he focuses his attention on us, and God's care for us is throughout the whole of your life. For he numbers the hairs of your head today. He numbers the hairs of your head yesterday. And he definitely will number the hairs of your head tomorrow. God knows me in this intimate way. And think about it. If he has counted the minute hairs of my head, should I not then be willing to give everything to him, even my hair? I mean, think about it. Did not a woman come to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair as an illustration of a complete abandonment of her life to Christ? Here's the most logical thing you and I can ever do in our life, and that is completely give our lives over to the Lord and to trust him and to lean on him. So Jesus is conveying to us not only his control, but his intimacy. But there's something else I want you to notice. And that is, he is conveyed unto us. And I think this is very close to the last point I made, but it is definitely different. And that is, he is conveying to us, if I could say it this way, our significance or our value. When we think of his intimacy, he knows us. When we think of significance, he loves us. There's a preciousness to it. I mean, think about it. How precious were the disciples to Jesus? It definitely wasn't because they were wise. It wasn't because they were mighty. It wasn't because they were noble that he called them. But why did he choose to call them? He called them, and by the way, if you want to understand God's calling to salvation, you have to know that it all flows out of the root of his love. He has done this because he has chosen to love us. That's the foundation for understanding his sovereignty. He is in control. And think about it, that we are so significant that he has numbered the very hairs of our head. Let me illustrate it this way. My wife and I, our family for, 15 years or so, owned a home and a piece of property up in the woods of northeastern Wisconsin. Your pastor is a graduate of Northland Baptist Bible College. And I was the camp director of Northland Camp and Conference Center from 2002 to 2011. So we owned a home up there, and it was if I could just say it this way, it was a classic home in the woods of Wisconsin. And it was 40 acres of land, massive trees. There was a beautiful 7-acre lake or pond, however you want to call it. It was a veritable jungle. Every imaginable animal in the North Woods came through our front yard. It was a great place. Now, when I sold that piece of property, the 40 acres, how many of those trees do you think I counted on that property? You know how many trees I counted? Absolutely none. Not that I didn't think the trees were valuable, but they weren't worth my time to count them. And I surely did not count every branch, every limb, and every tree. In other words, I put no detail into it. I just sold the land. But let me ask you a question. If you sold a jewelry shop, and when you sold the jewelry shop, every gem and every necklace and every ring you sold with the shop, how many of you would count every ring, every jewel, every diamond, every ruby, every necklace? You would count every single one of them. Why? Because of their value. Now, folks, think about it. God doesn't just count you, but he counts every single hair on top of your head. And what is he stating to us? He is stating us, and he's using logic. Think of it this way. If the hairs of your head are worth so much that God registers them, what about your soul? That's the point of what he's making in this passage of Scripture. He said, don't be afraid of the person that can kill your body. Be concerned about the person who can deal with your eternal soul. And what is he telling us? He is telling us the value of our soul through our hair. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Lord has placed such a value on the human soul that he has sent his Son into the world to die on a cross for your soul, to redeem your soul, to bring you into a relationship with God. Jesus gave his life to die on a cross that none of his little ones should ever suffer. And think of it this way. If the hairs of your head are counted and he's making your soul worth that much, then how important is the business of winning souls in the local church? I worked 5 years as an assistant pastor in a local church in Michigan. I've traveled 29 years as a local church evangelist before I went to Bob Jones University. And folks, I can say that the precious thing to the heart of God is the saving of people's souls. And how do I know that? Because he sent his Son into the world to die on a rugged cross, to pay for your sins, to redeem you, to bring you back to himself. And from this logic, he is telling us, if he's numbered the hairs of our head, what about the value of what God has placed on you to save your soul? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so surely our hearts should be encouraged this morning that God has numbered the hairs of our head. And there's one final thing I'd like to share this morning. And that is, I believe that he is conveying through this simple picture, numbering the hairs of your head, he is conveying to us that God preserves his own people. And when you read throughout the Scripture, you'll often see various spots where the idea of the preserving of the hair of your head is used to preserve a person's life. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, King Saul was going to put his son Jonathan to death because he disobeyed one of his father's laws. He didn't know he was disobeying it, but he disobeyed it anyway. And listen to what verse 45 says. Then the people said to Saul in 1 Samuel 14, "Shall Jonathan die, who has worked this great salvation in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground." What's he saying? He's using an illustration of God's protection, of God's preservation. And surely we see this in Daniel chapter 3 with an illustration that most Christians know. And it's a story of the three Hebrew children in the land of Babylon. Their names were what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what's the story? It's a very simple story. They were living in a land filled with idols. God had commanded in his law they were not to worship idols or bow down to them. And a command came from the king of Babylon that an image would be built and all people were to bow down and worship it at the playing of the music. And of course, if you've read the Scripture, they'll tell you the instruments that they used. And of course, they were ancient instruments at the time, and they played the music and they basically had a worship service, and they bowed down and worshiped the image. And so the music played, everybody bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there was a penalty for not bowing down to worship. And what was the penalty? They would be thrown into a fiery furnace. And what happened? They were thrown into the furnace. And of course, if you know the story, as they were thrown into the furnace, they were covered by the flames. If you've ever seen anybody burn, you cannot tell anything about their physical features. You can't see them. They're covered by the flame, and all you can see is a darkened form. And as the people looked into the fire, they saw the three Hebrew children, but they also saw a fourth person in the flame of fire. One likened to the Son of God, I believe, was a pre-incarnate form of Jesus Christ. And listen to what Daniel says in response to their being in the flames. It says, "And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed." Snippets out of the Old Testament that link us to the words of Jesus, that he has numbered the very hairs of your head. And what is he conveying to us? He is conveying to us that he is going to preserve his own. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." If my eternity was secured based on my obedience to God, I would not be a secure person. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that are believers this morning, have you committed sins since you've believed for which you've wondered, am I a real Christian? How many of you have ever wondered, am I really saved? And I'm not talking about a profession of faith that you made. But by your actions, you've actually confused yourself and wondered, am I a real Christian? Have you ever done that? I could ask you to raise your hand, and I think most of us would raise our hands this morning. And folks, I want you to understand that if I could say it this way, once you're in his hand, he's not going to let you out. And yes, he may take us through experiences to bring us back to himself, but he is conveying to us that we are preserved and kept in his grace. And that is really important, because the more you see yourself, the more you begin to wonder, Lord, am I a real Christian at times because of the nature of my heart and the way that I live and my inconsistencies and my personal failures? And that ability to actually see that about yourself is one of the evident signs that you are his children and that you want to live close to him. And even in your weaknesses, you come back to him and he restores you. And he shows that you are preserved and you are kept in his hand. So God has numbered the hairs of our head. What a wonderful God we have. A God who preserves us. A God who knows us intimately. A God who values us. And a God who is in control of our lives. So what's the result? What's the point? The point is, don't be afraid. But trust God. Trust him with your whole heart. Throw your whole life on him, because he cares for you. Would you bow your head with me, please, as we pray this morning?